Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Everything Action Cast week of May 23rd, 2011. I'm your host Zach, and joining me this week is Joe.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, tear. Brian.
Dig it!
And Chris.
Slap into a Slim Jim!
Eat me!
We'll get that later in the show. And we also have a ton of news to talk about this week, and a bunch of other stuff, so why don't we get right into it with... Show and tell. So, Joe, did you watch anything interesting over the last week?
Yes, I saw Pirates of the Caribbean in the third dimension, which I thought was actually it was pretty good. I mean, it certainly was not the best in the series, but here's the thing. I find that most of the Pirates movies to be pretty entertaining, and I'm not exactly expecting to walk out, like, signing up to be part of the crew of a fucking pirate ship. You know, they're good. Right, exactly. Like, they're good popcorn movies. You know, at the end of the day, you got to remember it is Disney, so you can't exactly expect it to be, like, decapitations and, like, raping and pillaging. But overall, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I still think it's definitely not the strongest in the series, obviously. I do think it was a little bit better than the third movie, just because the third gets a little bit convoluted. So I don't know, it's really like a matter of preference, but I would still recommend seeing it, and I would recommend seeing it in real D if you could get out there and see it at a theater that has like real D 3D. It was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some similar effects to like what they had in Thor, but I'm pretty sure that that's just because that those are the popular effects right now for 3D. So, overall, you know, thumbs up for Pirates. Well done.
So I saw it first, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I just saw it today. Well, you can check
them
out. Full review is up on everythingaction.com, but...
Yeah. Well, look at that.
It was, I thought it was good. Like, the first one's obviously, like, the best one.
Two gives the first one a run for its money, though. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I saw, like, the two and three just get, like, so complex. Like, there's, like... People are quadruple crossing each other and just like it's just insane.
Yeah, as you go further into the series, it gets more like that. But I think four was a little bit like dumbed down.
It was also like a little smaller too.
Yeah, it was a little bit smaller and it was a little more dumbed down. And they definitely trimmed the fat off of like the cast.
Yeah,
in the sense that like I basically got everyone that I cared about,
mm-hmm.
AKA Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom are nowhere to be seen. So,
more Jeffrey Rush, which
yes.
That was awesome.
Barbosa, who's actually my favorite character
yes.
in the series. Fuck Sparrow.
Also, Ian McShane as Blackbeard is probably one of the most perfect casting choices ever in cinema.
That was pretty perfect casting. The only thing that really bothered me was that about the 2 minutes into the first time we saw him, I made the connection that he looks like Jerry Only, the bass player from the Misfits, and then the whole time, that's all I was thinking of, and I was like, oh, man. This movie's ruined for me now.
Also,
it's like what an uncanny appearance.
I also felt it was kind of weird that like Blackbeard had like all these like crazy supernatural powers. You know, like controlling the ship with his sword and like being able to meet zombies and like he does voodoo and just like a bunch of other stuff.
I did think that the old school zombie thing was kind of cool though, because like the original zombies weren't like brains zombies; they were like, oh yes, master.
Yeah.
They were basically like voodoo slaves. Mm-hmm. So like that was a pretty cool throwback to the original zombies. I like the idea of him having zombies. I just hated the idea of him being like so supernatural. And I know that sounds like a pretty retarded statement on the surface, but like the zombie thing, at least I could believe because I mean you've got some like crazy magic shit going on in the Pirates. World to begin with.
Yeah.
But when you have a ship like breathing fire and him controlling with the
ropes,
the winds,
yeah.
But yeah, it It's just a little much for me. I mean, maybe if Davy Jones had something like that, I'd be like, okay, well, this is a fucking, like, Cthulhu-faced squid, so I can suspend disbelief. But yeah. Blackbeard, I don't know.
I think they felt like they had, like, they had to have, like, a supernatural captain, because, like, the first movie you had, like, Barbossa as a zombie, and then, like, you had the Davy
right.
Jones for the next two, so I guess maybe they felt like they needed, like, a crazy captain with powers.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, because if they just had, like, I mean, you couldn't just go into this having the fucking, like, British Navy as the villains.
Yeah.
Or, like, the Spanish.
Well, they should
as badass as they made the Spanish
they
in this movie.
I think they could have cut the Spanish completely out of the movie and it would have been fine. Because they didn't really do anything.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They show up twice.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're Spanish, by the way.
And, like, what they do at the end, like, it makes absolutely no sense at all.
I know. You know what? It's not without its faults.
Yeah. Like, the whole, like,
it's definitely
the missionary
not.
Subplot with the mermaid was, like, what is good?
Borderline
so
retarded.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Although,
I have to say,
the mermaid scene was
for the record,
pretty awesome.
The mermaid scene was pretty cool, and those were some handsome, handsome mermaids they had for the most part. So at least that kept my attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, pirates. Check it out. Lower your expectations, and you will not be disappointed.
Yeah.
What else did I see? I literally just finished watching The Fighter because I suppose that was a movie that had to be watched. And
Oscar nominated.
Can I just say, Christian fucking Bale.
Yes.
Good God. That is
Agreed.
A talented man. And after seeing that, he was very deserving of his accolades and, you know, ensuing rewards and awards for that role. Very good. That, you know, it's not supposed to be his movie, but he definitely stole the show, I feel. And a great supporting cast, too. The only thing that was really distracting to me was the constant appearance of Conan O'Brien's real-life sister, who looked
yes.
literally exactly like him. Like, they look like fucking fetal twins. So that was a little bit... That took me out a few times. But other than that, I thought it was a really solid performance, and Mark Wahlberg was totally believable as the busy idiot
mm-hmm.
who was basically like, oh, man, I love my girlfriend, but I also love my family, but I also love boxing. Like, what do I do? Like, you can't have it all, Mickey. You're fucking queer. You're a queer. Like, that's basically most of the movie.
Yep.
But overall, fucking kick-ass. The only real complaint I have about it is that the boxing sequences were fucking terrible.
Yeah, I didn't like them either.
The slow motion was cheesy. The fight choreography was brutal. Like, here's the thing: with a drama like this, don't give me Rocky choreography. Like, save the Rocky boxing for, like, Rocky movies, which are essentially, other than the first one and arguably the first half of the second movie, those are action films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really are. So, you know, give me the slow motion and the, you know, human punching bag bullshit in those movies. Nothing against Rocky, but I'm just saying, that has its place there. Whereas, you know, the more dramatic role called for more real-life boxing. But I did really like the way that they used that, like, late 80s camera filter on all the boxing, so it looked like an actual, like, 80s broadcast of the HBO
yep.
boxing. Like, I read somewhere that it was almost a shot-for-shot recreation of most of the fights.
Well, I guess they had, like, the announcers come in and, like, redo all their lines that they said.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
so
that was a very cool touch. I mean, they got a lot of stuff right, but just, like, to fuck up one thing, to have it be the boxing itself, like, come on, man.
Well, there wasn't a lot of boxing to begin with in the movie, so...
I know, but then, to me, all the more, it's even more inexcusable.
Yeah.
It's like, you only had to box twice. Like, how did you fuck this up? But, you know, I definitely recommend seeing that, especially if you're late into it like I was, where, you know, enough time had passed and it was finally available, and you had nothing better to watch. So do check that out. In addition, taking a left turn here, I also viewed Tangled on Blu-ray this weekend, which I have to say, I fucking loved Tangled. And I can say that with my sexuality and masculinity totally in check, because that was a funny fucking movie. And I really was not expecting it. I mean, I had heard that it was funny, but, like, when you hear that, like, a Disney animated movie is funny, like, you know, you think there's going to be, like, a fart joke or something. Or maybe some sort of weird sexual reference that only adults would get, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this was definitely far exceeded my expectations, and I think that the animation, the whole presentation was actually very impressive. So I would say that's a sleeper hit for any of you nostalgic Disney fans out there. If that's the direction that they plan on taking, I guess, like the princess story, so to speak, for like the foreseeable future with Disney, then I'm totally behind that, because I think that, you know, if we turn out another Frog Princess, things aren't going to go over so hot.
I heard a lot of people saying like it's a return to like classic Disney animation, like story wise and stuff.
It is, and it's definitely a little bit more edgy too. Not that like there are tits in it or anything, but at the same time, like it's definitely like something that I could see being geared more towards like the preteen and even teenage audience. But like, I laughed my ass off. I mean, there's a chameleon in this movie named Pascal, who's like one of the little like sidekick creatures, who is fucking hilarious. And if I could get a tattoo on my heart of this guy, I would. Like, not on my chest, I mean on my fucking beating heart, I would, because that's how adorable and hilarious he was. So, well done, Disney. Well done. And in addition to that, like you, I've been playing L.A. Noire, like, nonstop.
Yes.
And all I'm going to say about that is that, you know, believe the hype. Because, holy shit. That, goddamn.
It that just plays crazy.
There's nothing that I can say about it that could make it, like, more appealing than it already is just by picking it up and playing it. So, definitely do that.
Right, so, Brian, what about you? You been watching anything over last week?
The only thing I can really talk about is I saw Bridesmaids.
Okay.
And really hyped movie. Female hangover gets thrown out a lot. It was really good. It was really funny. It had a lot, and I know he produced it, but it had a lot of the Judd Apatow DNA in it, and that is, it's a little more complex than your typical kind of gross-out comedy. And, you know, as much as I hate Tina Fey, Kristen Wiig is just, she's so much better and just so much better. I mean, at playing like the every woman character, and I think that she just does a great job in this film. She kind of plays the kind of woman who's like in her mid to late 30s, who's like hasn't settled down yet, and she sees all of her friends getting married, and she thinks that, like, you know, love's kind of left her, and she's screwing John Hamm on the side, who's a douchebag.
Nice.
Which was great, because he's kind of like a Don Draper-ish character, which I liked. But the movie was really funny. It was really gross at times, but still funny.
A lot of period jokes, I'm guessing.
Not really. No. You would think that,
wow.
But you know,
shocking.
They go out to this Brazilian restaurant, and they get sick, and then they go try on wedding dresses, and there's a lot of like vomiting involved, and a lot of toilet humor. So, so there's that, and basically, just the whole plot is her friend, played by Maya Rudolph, is getting married to Tim Heidecker, of all people. Doesn't have a single line in the movie, but he's there, which was just weird. Kristen Wiig is her best friend, and she chooses her to be the maid of honor, and she plans all these things, and they're not they just turn out to be a disaster. Plus Maya Rudolph has another friend who's like really rich and really like wants to fly out to Paris for a party and stuff like that. So she feels like she's competing against her. And I don't know, it was really funny, really raunchy. But the real scene stealer is Melissa McCarthy, who you probably might not know her, but she plays Molly from Mike and Molly. But she's just plays this, like, you know, the typical fat girl character, comic relief. But she's just her delivery is just like so deadpan, and just, you know, not only could she just like tell a good joke, but you just believed her character enough that it made it even funnier, if that makes any sense. But to those of you listening who have girlfriends, take them out to see this movie, because it's a good date night type movie. if your girlfriend is into the kind of R-rated type stuff. So I enjoyed it a lot. So far, my favorite comedy of the year.
All right.
That's it.
That's it? What about the Office season finale, Brian? Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah, I did. And I had low expectations for it, and it just met them. I knew all the cameos would be smoke and mirrors, and they kind of burned through most of them in, like, the first 10 minutes, especially Will Arnett, which was kind of disappointing. But, yeah, I mean, I know they're going to leave it on kind of a cliffhanger, so it'll be interesting to see how they go for the first episode. It seems like they're still trying to find out where they want to go post-Steve Carell. I read an AV Club article saying that Catherine Tate's character might be in the front running, but I really hope not, because she just seems like a worse female version of David.
She was like the
David.
Worst interview.
Yeah, she was like a female version of David Brent, only worse, and that's really not the direction the show needs to take.
James Spader was the best.
James Spader was great, but I think that would get tired really easily. So I don't see I just don't see what direction they're going to go. I mean, a lot of people are saying, you know, Ed Helms would be great. Yes. Mm-hmm. So would Craig Robinson, who I thought killed in that episode. He was really funny. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with that. I'm kind of interested. If they don't find a good footing in, like, the first four episodes of next season, I might have to downgrade this to I might not catch it as much, you know.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Also, Parks and Rec was awesome.
Yep.
No, yeah, Sebastian!
Oh, so good.
Right, so, Chris, did you watch anything over the last week, even though you were in Vegas?
Yeah, I kind of, like, was following the tourists for a while.
Okay.
And, you know, I was, like, staring at clouds, staring at the movie, and it's pretty much the same assimilating effect I had in my brain. I'm just like, all right, well, I can't stop anything that's happening, so this movie just keeps going. And it's just one of those movies that if it starred anyone else, no one would watch it. You know, it's like Johnny Depp, Angelina Jolie, people you've seen in other movies. Like, it felt like such a weird movie. I maybe because I watched it with, like, you know, like 100 people crammed into, like, a tuna can that made me not enjoy it. But, like, the plot at the end is such a big twist, and it's like, really? This is how the movie ends? I'm not sure if I want to ruin it, but it's like, it, like, no one, you have to figure out that, like, Johnny Depp's character is the guy, like, they're kind of looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though he's a tourist, like, it makes no sense. It seems so convoluted, and I was like, eh, okay, whatever. And then, like, a week passed, and my flight came from Vegas was, like, it was, like, a Natalie Portman movie that didn't do well. It was called, like, I don't know.
Movie. Was it No Strings Attached, was it?
No, I actually like that movie.
It was like, I'm trying to think, like, was it recent?
Yeah, it's in the past few years. It wasn't.
It was, like, was it like The Other Woman or something? I know.
No, not the Anne Boleyn one.
No, there was like a, she was like a, I don't know, some guy, like, cheats on his wife with her or something, or.
No, wait, it is The Other Woman.
Yeah.
But it was called Other Impossible Things. Love and Other Impossible Things.
Oh, okay. Maybe they changed the title or something.
Yeah, they use the alternate title, but yeah, it's called The Other Woman. Because I know there's another movie called The Other Boleyn Girl, and she played Anne Boleyn.
Yeah,
there's been another movie that they just threw on. I was like, what's wrong with Continental? They're just like, they, like, go to their moms and, like, hey, mom, what can we show? Like,
this will appeal to everyone in the airplane.
This is not a movie you go to come from back from Vegas with. Like, you come back from Vegas, you need to see, like, action. You need to see, like, Fast and Furious. So you don't want to come back and see, like, a love movie. You're like going to Vegas, I could see, like, a love movie, but I was watching The Tourist, and I was like, this is not even the right country we're going to. We're going to Vegas. We need, like, a gambling movie. Something to, like, get our blood flowing.
Wasn't it, like, Venice or something? You go to, like, the Venetian.
You can go to the Venetian, yeah. It's kind of nice, but, you know, like, even when I was in Vegas, I was, like, expecting, like, movie references here and there. Like, the first time I really wanted to go to Vegas is right after seeing Showgirls, you know? So it's like, ooh, maybe I could see, like,
God.
Who else could I see, like, crash their career in Vegas? And didn't happen, so whatever. Maybe I'll write about it. Go see CSI. But I realize, like, most of the CSI cases happen outside of Vegas. It's, like, very rare does it happen, like, in the casinos or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, but they market the shit out of CSI in Vegas. They're like, come, there's like a CSI, the experience where you go and like pay $60 to like investigate a murder. But I was like, you know, for like less than that, I can make my own murder. Like,
what, do they have like CSI reality tours? Where like that's yeah, drive around, like, point stuff out. There was yeah, a body
you,
there.
You go to like, yeah, like, well, I guess like things, you investigate a crime scene with like a bunch of strangers and foreigners, and like that's the worst experience. Trying to like learn something while on vacation, like, no, fuck that, you're not gonna do that. So when I came home, I actually watched Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Okay.
Am I see that?
I saw that.
It's, I didn't watch it because I, you know, was like, they're never gonna translate this movie into like the book into like a movie. Like, I, you know, it's not bad. I actually really enjoyed it. Like, I was surprised how much I enjoyed that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know, it. Like, yeah, like, the one part I didn't know was that it was filled in an all-star cast of voice talent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. T's in it. Bruce Campbell's in it.
Yep.
Bill Hader's the main character. James Cadd. You know, and a bunch of other people, like, Annie Samberg has, like, a role in it. Which I really thought was Will Ferrell. Like, his fat guy voice is Will Ferrell's, like, yelling voice.
Jeez.
Like, I didn't really know that. It was really like, huh, okay. They sound similar when they're, like, yelling, kind of. And, you know, maybe in a few years, DreamWorks movies could sort of rival Pixar movies. Joe said he watched Tangled, and that's just, like, pure Disney 3D animation. And they're kind of like
magic.
Disney, yeah, like they're kind of like the rejects from Pixar that kind of like Disney kind of gathers up in a small group and makes them make Tangle.
I got yeah.
I'm trying to think of another. Well, what's another Disney 3D movie that was like before Tangle?
Like Chicken Little.
Remember that? Chicken Little was such a weird movie because it didn't do bad, but it didn't do good.
That was like the first. That was like Disney, like, oh, we're doing 3D animation now, not 2D. This is the future.
Well, you know, I actually enjoyed Princess and the Frog when that came out, but that was because I was on Netflix and I was drunk. I really need something to laugh at. But Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, if you remember the story, was about just the weather just fucking up everything and just raining food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this book could only be made in America where, like, we just have so much excess. And it makes sense. Like, James came back for Vegas where, like, there, it's just, it's waste. Like, it's a place that is just, no wonder they call it Sin City. It's just like, you feel bad about the world, but then it's like, oh, 24/7 buffet. Like, all right. What do you mean this place never closes? Okay. $12.99 with a coupon? Fuck yeah. So.
I'm just going to take this whole tray of crab legs.
Yeah, it's like I could sneeze on this cheeseburger and send him back and get four more. So. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is like that kind of like excess things, like unnecessary materialistic things, but it's represented in food. And the book was great because it just made kids hungry when you watched it. And the movie kind of like, they get kind of hungry. You're kind of like, oh, that's so awesome. But, you know,
they're swimming in Jell-O.
Yeah, but, you know, it's kids into the kids movie. You don't really think about like the hygienic parts or like how food rots and like, oh, these bugs come into play.
Mm hmm.
But it was cool. I really expected it to be worse because it's like the book was fantastic. It's not like something you want to mention a book reading club or somewhere in a college course. You're like, I love Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. That was my summer reading.
There's like 10 sentences in that whole book, but
exactly.
And the pictures, man, the pictures, it would just make you salivate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like sailing on pieces of bread, and yeah, that was one of my favorite books growing up. I actually saw that in theaters with the 3D, and it was great.
I love how the end.
Like, yeah, I imagine.
I love,
in that movie, the 3D would be worth it because there's a lot of things like coming at you.
Yeah.
And, like things exploding.
And so. I liked Mr. T's cop character. He was funny.
Mm-hmm.
It was over exaggerated. He was doing insane flips. Like, it was. Pretty cool. I didn't really know that was Mr. T. I thought it was Mr. T impersonator. And I looked it up online that it was Mr. T. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, it's the T.
And just because it's a black cop, I didn't expect the Mr. T. I was like, maybe. Maybe it could be someone else.
I also love how it turns into a disaster movie.
Yeah, it goes from like a happy like adventure goes nuts to like the world exploding.
Yeah.
And everyone in the town
food
wants to
tornado.
Kill.
Food tornado! The perfect
I just, Bruce I love how like Bruce Campbell, the mayor. Oh, I did not know that was Bruce Campbell. I thought it was someone else. I thought it was like the voice from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, like the cat. I thought it was Salem.
That guy's not doing anything.
No.
Yeah, that guy's out of a job. But yeah, you know, maybe I'll try other DreamWorks movies. Maybe I'll watch Kung Fu Panda 2.
Have you seen How to Train Your Dragon?
No, that's actually on my list.
Watch How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah.
It's on my Netflix. It was like the next movie after I returned like this Jackie Chan movie I rented, which I need to watch.
Because that's like the closest they've ever gotten to Pixar level.
Okay.
And Joe, you said Megamind's awesome too, right?
I was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, they're getting like Tangled better, but Megamind was fucking epic as well.
Yeah, DreamWorks is getting there. Like, now that they're retired Shrek, I think they're kind of on the right
track.
Thank
God. They could focus on something else.
Yeah. Even though, I guess they're saying, they're like, we're going to make, like, 5 How to Train Your Dragon movies.
No.
Yeah. Wrong
Not
direction.
Approved.
So, anything else, Chris?
No, I mean, after seeing this, I kind of want to see, like, compare it, because I didn't really watch a lot of DreamWorks movies. Remember Shark's Tale? That movie with Will Smith that, like, insulted the whole Italian community?
No one remembers Shark's Tale.
Yeah.
Didn't they come out the same year as Finding Nemo?
I think so. Every year, there's always, like, a rival movie against something else. So.
Yeah.
No, that's about it. I have this Jackie Chan movie, like, in wait to watch maybe tonight. Robin B. Hood, where he steals a baby.
Should be Robin Da Hood. So, let's see. I watched Pirates, like I mentioned before, and then also saw MacGruber.
Hey,
that movie's not good.
Drink more Pepsi.
MacGruber is better on the second viewing. I found out.
There will be no second viewing of MacGruber.
Because you know how horrible it is the first time.
Yeah,
your expectations are so low that it can only improve, I guess.
Like, there's, like, a couple, like, little things that made me laugh. Like, I love how MacGruber listens to, like, soft rock the entire movie. Like, he's, like, driving like a badass, and it's, like, Sailing's playing or something. Or like, Broken Wings or whatever the hell. Like, all the classic 80s soft rock.
And he rips out throats.
Yep. So that's pretty fun. And then, like, Powers Booth is always awesome.
Yep.
I love, like, his, like, the recruitment montage, like, getting, like, all the badasses together for the team.
It's like the Expendables, but not.
Yeah. Everyone, like, it's like the B team. And, like, Val Kilmer's pretty good as the bad guy.
Yep.
But, like, I think it's just, like, it's trying too hard or something.
Yeah,
it's, like, trying too hard to be, like, super gross and raunchy and, like...
Plus, the premise didn't really hold water, so.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like How the Grinch Stole Christmas, like the movie version where it's like an hour and a half build up just like the original cartoon.
Yeah.
This is like an hour and a half build up to like the original sketch. So, it wasn't worth it. And then, TV wise, I watched season finale of Hawaii Five-0, which that show just got even like more and more ridiculous as the season went on.
Wait, they just did the season finale?
Yes, it was last week.
Jesus Christ.
They had that show's been on for like 2 years.
I know.
They had like a weird schedule where it would be like a new episode and like 2 weeks off, and then like a new episode and like 2 weeks off, and like 3 episodes and like a week off. And it was just like, they kept stretching it out.
What?
Go CBS.
Ever.
But yeah, it was... They had a bunch of like crazy plots that they like had to wrap up. Like, they're chasing after Mark Dacascos. He was like this,
oh,
like
Lord.
Asian. He's like the evil Asian, like crime.
Runaway food chef.
Whoa, fat.
Well,
I guess was in the. Like, I guess he was a character in the original show.
Yeah, he was a at fatter least, guy and stuff.
Yeah,
and so they hire like the Iron Chef, like dude,
the fake Iron Chef chairman,
yep.
And the former
pro TV series star.
And star of Double Dragon.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, they're trying to get him, and then there's also this, like, subplot where, like, Daniel Day Kim, they were, like, they thought he, like, stole this money from this, like, the police evidence locker, which is why he got kicked off the, like, police force to begin with. Then I just, like, find out, like, like, they find out, like, something super high up in the Hawaiian government is, like, corrupt, and then, like half the team gets arrested, and, like, half the team is, like, just, like, left hanging there. So I guess the lesson is don't fuck with Mark Dacascos.
I'd never fuck with Mark Dacascos.
Mm-hmm. And it had, like the season from LA had, like, one of the best, like, ridiculous cold opens ever, where it was just, like, people were, like, getting blown apart. And it kicks into, like, the Hawaii 5-0 theme. Which I think was, like, my favorite part of the show, which is, like, you see, like, a dead body or, like, someone gets killed, brutally murdered in, like, the first 2 minutes, and it's, like, da 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 da.
I remember it, yeah.
It's like CSI Miami level of, like, so just like, it's usually not like an awesome one-liner from David Caruso, but
yeah.
So yeah, Hawaii Fibo, it's ridiculous fun. Then also, like, something caught me completely off guard, but came back yesterday when we recording this on Monday, came back on Sunday. The Avengers cartoon is back.
Wow.
Which one?
Hmm?
Which one?
That was fast.
The Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes on Disney XD. The new cartoon.
Damn. I didn't realize it was coming back so quick.
It's been off like 2 months. 2 or 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. It went off like before Christmas, I think. We did the back, and I don't know if it's like coincidence or not, but they had like two sort of Thor-related episodes.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's not coincidental.
So the first one was they had to stop this, like, this old Thor villain, Malekith. He's like a dark elf. He's like half dead, half not. And he opened up like this the casket of ancient winters, which like froze the entire earth. So like Thor, Black Panther, and Iron Man had to like go stop him, while like Captain America and the Avengers had like stopped these like giant frost dragons from like destroying New York City. And then there was like an awesome cameo from like Human Torch and the Thing. They're like they got some help from Fantastic Four, which is awesome. And then the second episode was just this freaking amazing four-way battle between AIM, Hydra, SHIELD, and the Avengers to try to get the Cosmic Cube.
What is the Cosmic Cube again?
It lets you can touch it, and then you can, like, alter reality any way you want.
Because, like, I remember in the movie they used the Cosmic Cube for, like, 10 seconds.
Well, just, like, Samuel L. Jackson is like, here's the Cosmic Cube. Study it. But yeah, in the Avengers cartoon, MODOK actually is, like, creating it. And then he was going to sell it to Baron Strucker, who runs Hydra. But, Hydra's just going to, like, go in and, like, blow up AIM and, like, take the Cosmic Cube for themselves. So basically you just have, like, the Avengers and AIM and Hydra's, like, battling their way through New York City. So it's fucking amazing.
I mean, it's better than, like, the original Avengers cartoons that, like, there was never a coherent plot. They were just, like, action, and then a villain be robbing a bank.
Yeah.
So. At least there's, like, a plot.
Yeah. Well, they've had, like, every major villain of, like, the major, like, you know, like, Iron Man's main villain and, like, Thor's main villain. They've all had, like, a major, like, at least two-parter. Like, there's a whole two-parter where, like, the leader was, like, trying to, like, turn everyone gamma-radiated and stuff. It's just, like, if you're a Marvel fan, it's, like, a must-watch, because there's just, like, tons of, like, cameos and, like, crazy, like, D-level Marvel characters to show up that, like, kids would have no idea who the hell they are.
Well, like, here's the problem I fear, is that people are learning Marvel superhero characters through, like, Superhero Squad. like the one that was based off of Fisher Price's little toy line.
Yeah.
And there's just no coherent Marvel plot there. They're just like mushing all these characters that just they hang out in a super shield ship. So like, I enjoy them. I probably should watch the Avengers. That's like more age appropriate, I think, for myself.
Yeah. Well, the writing's awesome. Like they got great voice characters for it. Just it's animation's awesome. It's just a great show.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all I've been watching. So why don't we get into news? And there was a ton of news last week, especially TV news. But we'll get to that a little bit later. But why don't we kick it off with trailers from last week? And the big trailer that came out was the trailer for Adventures of Tintin, which is the Peter Jackson Steven Spielberg collaboration that's coming out this winter, based on the classic European cartoon, or I mean comic series. So anybody watch this one?
Yeah, I did.
What do you think, Brian?
Well, it's just a teaser, so you're not really grabbing much. It's good that we got like at least a closer look of Tintin, you know, one of the characters. I mean, we've had images, pictures leaked before, but I don't really think they did a good job of just showing what the characters will look like.
Yeah.
I mean, Spielberg's behind it. You know, he hasn't been that great recently. But Edgar Wright co-wrote the film. So it could be a nice little family.
Partnered. It's like a partner.
Yep, Peter Jackson too. So it could be a nice little family film. The teaser doesn't really make me incredibly excited. I mean, it didn't really change my opinion on how this movie's going to do. But, you know, it could be fun. So I got some hopes.
I want to see more of, like, the characters' faces and stuff because I'm wondering if it's going to get into, like, Robert Zemeckis, like, creepy zombie dead-eyed mode.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about, too.
Because I think they're saying it's going to be, like, cutting-edge, like, facial animation and stuff like that, and, like, cutting-edge animation for this. I don't know.
Well, did you guys ever watch the Tintin cartoon?
No.
Yes, when it was on Nick a long time ago.
Well, yeah, like, I think that was the last Tintin-related media on a long time, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading that. It's, like, the first thing they've actually done with, like, the rights in a long time.
Besides, like, I know there's a Paris, like, or French, like, fast food chain that has the Tintin, like, comics printed on their walls. It's, like, part of their franchise.
Hmm.
But, much Tintin-related material. Like, there hasn't been a game. There hasn't been, there hasn't been anything. I it's really hard to find a Tintin fan anymore, so I can't see, like, hey, man, Tintin's back. It's like looking for a new Lassie fan.
Yep.
I think it's still big in Europe and stuff, right?
Well, yeah, it's like, it's French, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like Asterix. You guys know the Viking guy? Who has, like, his own theme park in France, I think.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's coming out. I think it's, like, the big Christmas release this year, so probably see more as the year goes on. So, next bit of news. We learned about a couple remakes getting directors this last week. So, Philip Noyce, who directed Salt and also Clear and Present Danger, is going to be remaking Bloodsport.
With who?
They don't. They didn't say who's going to be starring in it or anything. Just saying Philip Noyce is going to be remaking it.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know. Who do you get to, like, replace Van Damme?
I know. That's my biggest question.
Mm-hmm. Like, Jason Statham?
Yeah, you need someone younger.
Yeah. There's not any, like, up-and-coming, like, martial arts guys there, though.
I gotta think about it. Van Damme was just recruited because he was just like, what, Brussels? Like, one of something. One of something's, like, leading martial artists at the time.
Yeah.
Like, tournament fights. And remember his first movie or second movie? Terrible.
Was Kickboxer first or was Bloodsport first?
First movie he was in was Electric Boogaloo 2. Breaking Electric Boogaloo. That was one of his first appearances. And then, what, Never Surrender was his, like, first...
Oh, No Retreat, No Surrender?
No Retreat, No Surrender was his first, like, fighting movie that he had one line in it or something. And eventually, you know, they hired him for Bloodsport, which is fine. It was great. Then they remade Bloodsport, like, four times.
Yeah, like, Bloodsport 4?
No, I meant, like, the idea. Like, oh, Bloodsport.
Kickboxer.
Lionheart. Quest.
What was the one where it was like, robots? They were, like, cyborg fighters?
Cyborg.
Was that Cyborg? Okay.
It was just called Cyborg.
So I thought Cyborg was, like, he was, like, wandering the desert or something, but...
Yeah, but then they put him into, like, a Torment fight. Like, they hook him. So...
And of course, Mortal Kombat.
He was in Mortal Kombat.
No, but, like, Mortal Kombat is, like, inspired by Bloodsport.
Right, it's... Okay, yeah. I'm talking about Van Damme Torment fighting. Like, it's a classic staple of his acting career.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta find an actor who's gonna do that too, or at least follow that. Like, Jason Statham movies always involve cars and guns, so he's not gonna be in a pure tournament fighting movie.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan's way too old. It really is. I mentioned this a while ago on the podcast, like, we don't have, like, muscled guys like that anymore, at least for our action generation. We have, like, sleeker guys. It's fine, but. Mm-hmm. I kind of miss, like, one brawny dude just, like, throwing punches and yelling in training montages.
We have, like, Vin Diesel and The Rock.
I'll watch that. I'll watch Vin Diesel train. When you, Brian?
Vin Diesel in Bloodsport? Yeah.
It's, like, screaming and hitting on Thai women.
I'd rather have The Rock.
And he just, like, rock bottoms people. And kills them. With a rock bottom.
Pretty much.
So, other remake news, we learned that Justin Lin, speaking of Vin Diesel and the Fast and Furious movies, he's going to be directing the Highlander remake, which...
I don't know why they need to remake Highlander. They can't remake Highlander, there can only be one. I mean...
There's been like six.
There can only be one first Highlander movie.
Yeah. I don't... Like... I could see, like, maybe updating Highlander a little bit. Like, I love the original movie, but it's super cheesy.
Definitely.
What? How's that cheesy? He's, like, he's being stalked by a reporter. He's screaming in alleys.
He's running through Scotland.
What was it, the Krogan?
The Kurgan, yeah.
The Kurgan just, like, is fucking hookers.
Mm-hmm. Queen's playing in the background the entire movie. It's got to be better than, like, every other Highlander sequel and the TV show. Well, TV show was okay for a little bit.
Mm.
But, like, the rest of the movies are just awful.
Well, wait. I actually like the, what was the one where the second one, I think, was the one they discovered that there were aliens, and the director came back and recut it to make every alien reference out?
Yeah, that was the second one. Where, like... The Highlanders are actually aliens, and, like, Sean Connery came back somehow, even though you guys got cut off, and Michael Ironside was the evil alien general.
How is that not, like, how do you not want to make more movies out of that one?
Then, like, 3 had him, like, learning magic from, like, an Asian guy, and then fighting Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah, he was the magician who was in a lamp or something, and then... I remember they killed him. Like, something stupid happened, and, like, Mario Van Peebles... No.
Mario Van Peebles got
had
locked...
a son or something.
Well, Mario... Yeah, well... No, it was still Connor McCloud fighting, but then, like... these, like, 3, like, immortals got, like, sealed into a wall in, like, ancient times, and they got, like, unsealed in, like, China or something, and they just started, like, coming after Connor McCloud again.
Well, because I remember the first movie, they set the rule where, like, every Highlander has to fight in this fight.
Yeah, the immortals get, like, drawn to each other. Yeah.
It just, New York seems to be, like, the best epic center for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, each progressive sequel is always, like, some missing Highlander that just forgot to show up in that first movie.
Well, that's the whole premise of the TV show. It was like, Duncan.
Really?
It's like, oh, here's another immortal that didn't show up or get killed. Because he, like, Duncan killed an immortal, like, every single episode. And it's not right, for, like, 5 seasons.
So every episode, some dude just, I didn't get the invite.
Yeah. oh, I didn't feel it or something. I got locked into a cave or something.
I had to wait for a package.
Yeah. So, but I think Justin Lin's becoming like a good up-and-coming action director, so I'd like to see him, like, do it. Especially because he, like, he seems like really like practical effects, too. If you've seen, like, Fast Five and stuff, it's all, like, practical. So, and he's also doing Terminator, so he's taking on all the 80s action franchises.
Guess so.
Right, so, moving on, we learned that they cast the replacement for Jason Statham in the upcoming Transporter TV show. It's going to be on Cinemax. And it's Chris Vance, who probably I recognize him most from Burn Notice. He was Gilroy on Burn Notice. Do you remember him, Brian? He was sort of he's vaguely gay British assassin guy from season 4.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the evil dude.
Yeah. Yep. So he's going to be the new Transporter, taking over Jason Statham.
I'm looking him up to, like, make sure I know him. Is he playing the same, like...
He's Frank Martin, yeah.
Like, the younger years, or...?
I don't know what they're doing, but... I guess...
Actually, they look the same. They're, like, the same age, so it's fine.
Yeah.
He's also on Dexter, too.
Mm-hmm.
This past season.
I guess they have, like, $10 million an episode budget or something. Some crazy amount of budget for this show.
Hmm. What network is it going to be on?
Cinemax.
Oh. Hmm.
I mean, as long as he's kind of British, I don't give a crap.
And driving cars.
Driving cars. It's like the Blade TV show where every three episodes there's a different black guy's Blade.
Was it? Like, the first guy was, like, Sticky Fingers?
Yep. The second one was, like, someone else. And I think third episode was, like, Wesley Snipes. He just showed up. He's like, hey, what's up?
I'm not doing anything. I came back from Africa after running away from my tax problem.
I didn't want to pay $10,000, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, more TV news to talk about. The upfronts were last week, which is where all the major networks sort of reveal their new shows that are coming out in the fall and, like, just showing off what they got coming up. So, did you guys watch any of the trailers that came out last week for any of the shows?
Not that I remember.
Okay. Chris?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just mention, probably the one I'm most excited for is Alcatraz, which is the new J.J. Abrams show coming out on Fox. And it's starring Sam Neill and Jorge Garcia from Lost. And basically what this show is about is in the 60s, when they transferred all the Alcatraz prisoners, they didn't actually transfer them, they just vanished. So now, all the Alcatraz prisoners are showing up in the present day and, murdering people and stuff. And there's some sort of, shady conspiracy behind them showing up. Because there's... In the trailer, it shows them, getting, guns and information from someone. Then, Sam Neill and Jorge Garcia and this other girl, I can't remember her name, but she's, an FBI agent. They make up this, new task force that's, trying to, hunt down all these Alcatraz prisoners that are showing up in the present day. So it looks pretty good. Sam Neill is always awesome, so.
Yeah.
Wait, so their whole show is just, time-traveling cons?
Yeah, they just reappear in the present. Every prisoner in the Alcatraz escaped, disappeared in the 60s.
Wait, wasn't they made a show called, the 4400 that was basically the same premise?
Kind of, but that was, aliens, and it was, just a bunch of random people.
Alright.
This sort of has, it's definitely in, the fringe, sort of. Arena.
Wait, but didn't J.J. This is why I don't like J.J. Abrams shows, because he shows up for half a season, writes most of the work, leaves you on a really good story, then he just leaves, and then
yeah,
someone else takes over.
He just comes up with the ideas, the yeah. I don't know, Fringe is still awesome, so. Depends on who they get to actually run the show after J.J. Abrams is okay, it's going. He also has another show coming out in the fall on CBS called Persons of Interest, which actually stars Michael Emerson from Lost and also Jim Caviezel, a.k.a. Jesus. And it looks like it's kind of looks like Human Target, or like when like a sort of like one of those like old like 80s action shows where like Michael Emerson plays like this software engineer, like billionaire guy who invents this program that lets him like tap into like all the surveillance like in the country, and like it analyzes behavior and like lets him predict like who's going to commit crimes. And then like he sends Jim Caviezel out to like stop the crimes from happening.
So they send Jesus to stop a crime that could happen.
Yeah, kind of like Minority Report plus, I don't know,
Jesus,
Human Target or something. Like any of those mercenary shows.
I'm not sure that's even a good premise, because it's like they're constantly watching people for certain ticks, and it's like, oh, he finally snapped. All right, time to send Jesus at them.
Yep. It's like pre-crime. And then there's also the reboot of Charlie's Angels, which is like awful.
What? They're rebooting Charlie's Angels?
Yep. Like, the only thing about that trailer was like, okay, that's kind of good. You know that song "Send Me an Angel" from the Rad, Chris, the Bicycle Boogie song. It's in the trailer.
That's the theme.
Like, that's from Rad.
The "Send Me an Angel."
Yep. It's like
that was in my head during my Vegas trip, because I think I was at like a shitty like casino that was playing that.
Were you riding a bike and like somehow
doing like handle wheel spins?
Some like spinning the bike with like not pedaling.
Wait. Okay, see, like, the closest thing to Charlie's Angels, our modern times at least, was like VIP.
Or like
Alien. Same premise, like women, guns-ish, and like just protecting like a certain.
This looks pretty much like, it looks very much like VIP, where like all the girls are like criminals or something, and then like Charlie recruits them to be like mercenaries. But also, it's also kind of like stealing from Burn Notice, because it's set in Miami.
Even the voice of the original Charlie died. What's the voice going to be next?
Some dude. I don't know.
I hope it's like the same voice from Boy Meets World and Knight Rider.
Oh, man. I can't remember his name.
Mr. Feeny.
Yeah, Mr. Feeny. And then there's like both like NBC and ABC are having like these like weird fairy tale based shows. Like, I don't know. Either of you guys heard about the comic Fables?
No.
Well, it's like both these shows are kind of like, it reminds me of Conan's Basic Cable Name That Tune, where everything is like legally just not similar enough so they don't get sued.
Oh yeah, they'll change a few chords so it sounds something off.
These shows remind me of like, they're just changed enough from Fables not to get sued by them. And like one is Grimm, which is like this guy, he's like a descendant of like these like ancient supernatural hunters or something, and he has to like go like werewolf. He can like see like all these people in like the modern day, which are like werewolves and trolls and ogres and stuff. He has to like go solve murders based on these people. And the trailer is like ridiculous, because it's the entire first episode in like 5 minutes. You see the end of the episode in the trailer. The other one is like Once Upon a Time, which is on ABC, which is like this witch takes over like this fairy tale, and like all the people have to like come to the modern world. Which both of them look really terrible.
You know, it's one of those things where as long as it's not about vampires and like pretty sexy teenagers and shit, like I might watch it. But even then,
Grimm looks better than Once Upon a Time, but that's not really saying much. NBC does not really have, like, a very good track record.
I thought NBC actually had, like, a Twilight ripoff, something vampire, like, True Blood-ish.
But I think are you thinking, like, Vampire Diaries?
Yeah.
It was like CW, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Now, let's see, I'm trying to think of, like, what else. Oh, there's this show called Awake, which is, stars Jason Isaacs, who you might remember as Lucius Malfoy on Harry Potter.
No, not that. The dude from the tuxedo.
I guess he is he's playing a cop, and he gets into a car accident with his wife and kid. But then one of them dies, but like each day he's like in an alternate reality where like one of them is alive, one of the other one's dead, and then he like switches the next day.
What?
So like one day he'll be awake and his wife is there and his kid is dead, and then like next day his kid will be alive, his wife will be dead. And it's like different realities. And then like he's solving cases, but like the cases like start to affect each other. Like he'll like go to address in like one reality, and like then like the other reality like use that number for like a parking spot or something.
That's kind of cool. That's like, that's more of a movie. I can't imagine watching a TV show like 26 episodes long of like that.
The only thing about that show is that it looks super melodramatic. It's like constantly like his wife's crying and it's like he's like in therapy and stuff. So yeah, that's a. Oh, and then they also had like a longer trailer for Terra Nova. That's the Steven Spielberg dinosaur show. Coming to Fox.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about...
You want to hunt a dinosaur?
The only thing I'm worried about the show is that they had a 3-minute trailer and there's dinosaurs in it for like 30 seconds. So I'm hoping they're like saving the dinosaurs for like the actual show. But like it looks like it's like a lot of like family drama and stuff.
It just... You know, like I don't know... I guess we're running out of ideas, but, like, we just make Jurassic Park the TV show. Like, I would love to watch, like, a zoo just based on fake dinosaurs.
Or do you remember, you guys remember Dinotopia?
Yeah, it was about, like, people living with dinosaurs.
But it was, like the 1800s or whatever.
Yep.
And it's, like...
It's steampunk dinosaurs or something.
Yeah. It was like a huge book, and there was also, like, a TV show. There was, like, a miniseries about it and stuff. Like, I'm hoping it's, like, that plus, like, Jurassic Park. Plus, like, I don't know, some, like name a movie, but they build, like, a colony on a new world or something.
Well, no, I thought it was about people going back into the future, like, back to the past to colonize the planet earlier.
Yeah,
because dinosaurs around.
Like, the future Earth is, like, super populated, super polluted. So, you have, like, they're about to run out of resources, so they have to, like, go back in time to, like, this colony and, like, start, like, getting resources and, like, building a new colony.
Which is probably what happened, and that's why their future is like that. Like, there's a circular, like, logic to it.
Because they started building earlier, so, like, it's all, like...
Yeah.
Like, they, like, advanced evolution. I don't know. It's Steven Spielberg, so I'll probably watch it, like, for the first couple of episodes, see if there's any, like, awesome dinosaur action.
Yeah, it's got an interesting, concept.
Mm-hmm. And then TV cancellation wise, there's just like people, like all the networks pretty much like went on like the rampage and just like canceled a bunch of shows. So like I got like a partial list here, but like V, No Ordinary Family, Chicago Code, Human Target, Lie to Me, The Event, Mr. Sunshine, Direct, Detroit 187, Off the Map, America's Most Wanted, which finally after 25 years that show's gone.
But they've kind of gone. It's being turned into a quarterly thing now.
Oh,
like every
Dateline NBC 4 months or something. Yeah,
every 3 months. I mean, yeah.
Mad Love, Shit My Dad Says, which is surprising because that show brought in a bunch of people, even though everyone hated it.
It faded fast.
Yeah, and The Defenders are all canceled.
What, The Defenders? No,
Jerry Belushi.
Why?
Hey, but Blue Bloods, is that still around?
It's on the bubble, I think. Oh. So yes, yeah, so that's all the TV news. If you want to check out like all the trailers and stuff, you can go to everythingaction.com, look up fall a bunch of articles labeled fall TV. You can check out all the trailers there. And then last bit of news before we get into the newest roundup is that we got a picture last week of Tom Hardy as Bane from Dark Knight Rises. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of that?
Not really much to go off of with that, but cool, I guess,
mm-hmm.
So far.
He looks jacked.
Yeah, he does. Definitely.
He doesn't quite look like the Bane, like, face mask he had in Batman and Robin, but...
It's not a Luchador mask.
Yeah.
It looks more like a Hannibal Lecter type of, like, restraint mask.
Yeah. It'll do.
First look at Dark Knight Rises, so... worth a mention. So that's it for news this week, so I'm going to get to the newest roundup. And our pick of the week this week is you can get the complete series of the 80s Transformers.
The whole thing?
Yep.
Wow.
And I think it's the new Shout Factory versions, which are like packed with extras and stuff. They did like full restorations on all of them, so... Transformers fan, definitely look check that out. And then other stuff coming out this week, we have Romeo and Juliet.
Didn't that do well in theaters, surprisingly?
Kind of, I think, yeah.
It looked terrible.
It looked really horrible when I walked into it. Iron Man 4 out this week.
Pass.
Yep.
Ooh.
Iron Man 4. Kids like
it. I know, Timothy Oliphant was in it.
It's like the only reason I would watch that movie. You can get Platoon on Blu-ray. I don't know if it's been on Blu-ray before, but it's on Blu-ray this week.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. Also on Blu-ray, Gettysburg, the director's cut.
Oh man, which version?
Director's cut?
No. I meant like, I think every 5 years is always a new Gettysburg movie.
Oh, Tom Berenger, Jeff Daniels.
1993.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. I guess it's the 150th anniversary of the start of the Civil War this week.
It's time for me to drive down to, like, Virginia and start some shit.
Mm-hmm. The South will rise again. Start playing that song. Just play like a lot of Troy Daniels and just like drive around the South. So also,
ooh, speaking of Civil War. One.
So speaking of Civil War, Gods and Generals is also out this week on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I heard that's a good movie too.
Also Jeff Daniels. He's your go-to guy for Civil War movies.
Yep.
And then Criterion Collection, you can get Solaris, which the original version that got remade with the George Clooney movie.
Yeah, that was from the 70s or something.
Yeah, it's Russian. It's crazy. I had to watch it in film class. And then the complete first and second seasons of Children's Hospital on DVD this week.
Good show. I want to catch up on that.
I saw like the last half of the second season.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, really funny at times.
And then a couple After Dark originals are out this week. There's Fertile Ground and Seconds Apart. So if you're into straight-to-DVD horror movies, you can check those out.
On
Netflix.
They'll probably be an instant watch or something pretty soon. Yeah, so that is going to do it for this week's episode of the Everything Action Cast.
You forgot something.
Oh, crap. How could I forget that? Well, maybe, like, short special feature, Brian.
Yes. Rest in peace, yep. Randy Macho Man Savage.
We lost one of
our... Snap into some Slim Jims in heaven.
Yep.
I thought he dropped some flying elbows on God and Jesus. That's why we didn't have a rapture, so...
Yep.
So, yeah.
So, any favorite Macho Man moments, or...
The rap CD.
Yes.
The value of my copy went up, so that's nice. It's at, like, 0.00001, and it's at, like, 0.00002 now, so...
Awesome.
That's nice.
Of course, Slim Jim commercials from the 90s.
Yep. Those commercials.
His cameo in Spider-Man. As Bonesaw.
Bonesaw is ready.
You guys ever seen
Radio? And one that people don't really talk about, but when he was Rastlore on Dial M for Monkey on Dexter's Lab, you know, he did a lot of cartoon stuff too.
Mm-hmm. And of course, he was like the one of the greatest promo people in WWF. promo yeah. interview people.
Maybe clips on YouTube are classic. Maybe I am insane.
Listen, Jake the Snake Roberts. When you see a man touching your woman, you go insane.
Right now, dig it.
And of course, it's like his classic battles with Hulk Hogan.
Yep, and when they were the mega powers.
Yep.
And his stint as the Macho King.
Mm-hmm.
When he was on
Lifestyles
of the Rich and...
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, yes.
Yes, that's classic.
We entered the home of the Macho King. His palace.
And he's wearing like... was it like playing croquet or something? It was so yep. funny.
In like a crazy like robe cape thing. A crown. That was like... He was originally Macho King, right? And then he became Macho Man?
No, it was a small stint he did.
Oh.
He was always a Macho Man, but for a while he was a Macho King.
Mm-hmm. I think he started out as, like, a villain, too, in WWF.
Yeah, he was a heel.
Yep. Yep. He's one of our favorite people at Everything Action, and we're going to miss him.
A lot. More than you'll ever know.
I'm going to hit the floor in his honor.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to do it for this week's show. Officially now. And if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com, where a bunch of articles go up, reviews, our new feature, Musical Montage, which actually this week features Hans Zimmer, one of our favorite musical composers.
Cool.
Even though... he goes to the same well a couple times, but he always does awesome music, so. And you can also find us on Facebook. We can go to Facebook, search Everything Action. You can join our group on there. And you can see new stories when they go up. You can comment on those. You can send us links yourself if you find anything cool. Chat with us if we're on. Also, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/EVAction, which Joe runs that. Retweets a bunch of news stories as they come up. Sometimes live comments during movies he's watching. So definitely follow EV Action on Twitter. And then we're on iTunes, but you can search Everything Action on iTunes, and you can get the podcast on there. You can subscribe, rate us, leave comments. Also on the iTunes Music Store is our app you can download. It's free for iPhone, iPod Touch. It gives you the last 20 news stories, and also you can listen to the podcast on there. And you can send us email at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Joe and Brian and Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.